Support comes from Common Ground Food Co-op in Lincoln Square Mall. Community-owned since 1974, Common Ground is a full-service grocer featuring organic and local foods grown right here in Illinois. More information is on their website at www.commonground.coop. And from Prairie Fruits Farm, makers of farmstead and artisan cheeses and growers of organic tree fruits and berries. This summer, Prairie Fruits holds a cheese and gelato open house on Tuesdays from 3 to 7 p.m. Information on products and activities at prairiefruits.com and on Facebook at Prairie Fruits Farm and Creamery.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Coming up next, whether you say tomato or tomato, they are beloved by home gardeners and shoppers alike. In this edition of In My Backyard, Lisa Brautz says she has a passion for tomatoes, one that goes far beyond the typical red big boy.
It's tomato time. Luscious, luscious tomatoes. They're the centerpiece of so many gardens, of farmers markets. They're part of what I call the summer trifecta, sweet corn, peaches, and tomatoes. It seems for a lot of people, the entire local growing and eating season revolves around Solanum lycopersicum. My own tomato lust started this year, as it does every year, with the seed order in February. I began fantasizing about tomatoes when the catalog started arriving late last year, but didn't get serious about buying seeds until I was on vacation. I buy different varieties of seed every year. Usually I buy for name and color, which is tantamount to buying wine because it has a cool label or because you like the shape of the bottle. But when I rebuy seeds, it's always for flavor, followed by ease of growing. This season I started a lot of different heirloom varieties of tomato. Gold Medal, Paul Robeson. Yes, there's a tomato named Paul Robeson. Speckled Roman, Nebraska Wedding, Emerald Apple, German Lunchbox, Woodle, Ananas Noir. I set them up under their lights in early March. I watered them dutifully, and then I waited and bought other people's tomatoes. Locally grown hydroponic tomatoes first arrive at the local markets in May. Market patrons completely starve for lycopene and carotene, form lines, and fill their shopping bags when it's their turn. The hothouse tomatoes, which are grown in the warm climate of hoop houses and throughout the spring and early summer at local farms, come shortly thereafter. There's not much variety with hothouse or hydroponic tomatoes, though. You get them early, but their varieties grown specifically for earliness and uniformity, not for super deep flavor or wacky colors. Those are the field tomatoes, many of them heirloom varieties, and they are something else entirely. It wasn't that long ago at all that you could show a photo of a green striped tomato, or an orange one, or a so purple it's almost black one, and most people wouldn't even know what it was or believe that it was a tomato. Now heirloom tomatoes are hugely popular, and not just with home growers. A quick look at the displays of rapidly disappearing tomatoes at any farmer's market puts the lie to that. Tomatoes spanning the spectrum are now easily available at markets and, to a lesser degree, grocery stores. People snap them up for salads and burgers and pastas. This year, they were ready at the markets in quantity in mid-July. My own tomatoes suffered a little with the cool and wet spring, but once things dried out, they really got to move on. The window to build them a real structure, it's a vow my husband and I repeat every year, closed pretty rapidly, and once again we were left with out-of-control tomato plants by the 4th of July. 8 of them. I know 8 doesn't sound like a lot of tomato plants, and 8 small seedlings certainly don't look like much when you plant them out in late April or early May, but they can become a real problem for the home gardener in July and August if not properly contained. Our pathetic attempts to tie them to stakes were failures, their weight pulling the stakes out of the ground. As I write, there's a lot of fruit scattered in the tomato bed. Some fallen victim to an as-yet unidentified pest. Others clearly fallen victim to some extremely delighted squirrels. But there's still loads of fruit on the plants themselves, however haphazardly they may be growing. That's one of my favorite things about tomatoes. They can be growing in some pretty terrible conditions, yet they're still productive and all those colors make your garden look good, especially when everything else in the garden is falling apart, as things so often do after a hot and dry summer where weeds do not get pulled and watering doesn't happen every day. Tomatoes might slow down, but unless you really try hard to kill them or they get some terrible disease, they keep producing right up until the first frost. But they can also punish you with plenty. I mentioned earlier I have 8 tomato plants this year. This is down from an all-time high a few years ago of 22. I know, I had a serious tomato problem. I grew three different kinds of cherry tomatoes for my kids to pull off the plant and eat. I grew tomatoes that were good for canning, and I grew tomatoes to trade with friends and neighbors. The combination of underestimating the plant's productivity plus overestimating the amount of time available for preserving, not to mention my friends' and family's ability to eat that many tomatoes, was deadly. But even though I still can't keep up, I'm just not sure 8 plants is enough. Not when Black from Tula, Orange Icicle, Isis Candy, and their friends are just begging to be grown. This is Lisa Braltz for In My Backyard.